Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Tet Vav, and wow, amazing, we're holding right at the beginning of this unbelievable new perek, which brings us from the construction of the Mishkan and completing the putting together with the Ksav that we had, putting together the Karshea Mishkan. And then afterwards, we managed to do the Ariga on the Vilonot. And then after that, we managed to make the Tzedah to be able to trap the animals that we needed, the Elim, Odomim, and so on. And we were able to make the Bigdei Kohuna and to recognize what the implications are of Begodim from the Mishkan back to Briyas HaElam as part of the essential nature of Bria and of Adam, and how much they are Mechabdai, which was Rabbi Yochanan's approach, which brings the Indian of Beged into our lives. And now we are ready to realize that once we've got a Mishkan, we've got to protect that Mishkan. And remember, Mishkan means Mashkan. And the main point of the Mishkan, of course, was that it carried the Orein HaBris, which had the Sefer Torah in it. And if you want to protect that Mishkan, you better make sure that there's not going to be chas v'chalil nafal eish b'tzion, and therefore kol kitvei hakodesh matzilin oto mipnei hadleika. The halacha is that normally, if there is a fire that is broken out in the same complex that you live, Chazal made a gezerah because of the fact that people are bohul because of the fire, they're liable to do isurim of Shabbos and start putting out the fire. They wanted them to just get out of the building, not to start taking things out with them. And this is true, but not when it comes to Kisvei HaKodesh. Kisvei HaKodesh, you are allowed to remove and are mechuyev to remove from the fire. So kol kitvei HaKodesh matzilin oto mipnei hadleika, bein shekorin bahem ubein she'ein korin bahem. So whether we're talking about Kisvei HaKodesh that you are allowed to read from them in the Beit HaKnesset, or things that you don't read in the Beit HaKnesset, which would be a reference to Kituvim, which we don't read Kituvim in the Beit HaKnesset. Now, that's one approach. And the other approach is whether you're allowed to read from them at all on Shabbos. Now, the issue over there is because, as we're going to see, they used to have a drosha on Shabbos, which was the time that they taught everybody the halachot that were Nogea that week, and they felt that is extremely important to have full attendance. And they were makbid, even the Magid Mishnah brings, they were makbid, even that big Talmid HaChomim still would have to come to listen to the Rav's Drosha, because that way everybody would show up. And because of that, they assered reading Ketuvim, because Ketuvim are so much fun to read that people will end up reading the Ketuvim and not show up to the Shir. So that would be another approach. Remember that we learned before in the Tosafot that there used to be a minhag to actually do something like a Haftorah, a Mincha, on Shabbos. So they did read from the Ketuvim at that point. As a matter of fact, this Vardik minhag of Oda Hashem B'chol Levav that is read at Mincha is read because of the fact that we no longer read from Ketuvim, so they were mechadish to read that, so at least we will have one perek that we read always from Ketuvim at Mincha on Shabbos. So brings Rav Avadya Yosef. So in any event, there would be two pshat. So Ben Shekorim Behem, Ben Shekain Korim Behem would be Nogea, a question of whether it's Al Yochid or a Rabim. Now this is not to be confused with the machlokas that we're going to have in the Gemara today about whether you are allowed to read from translations of the various Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. And that, even though we use the same words, Korin or Ein Korin, please don't confuse that with the opening of the Mishnah. And then we have another question, and that is, Afa Pishik Tuvim B'chol Hashon, even though they're written in other languages. And as we'll see, there's a sheet that says that if they're written in other languages, then they have a din of Teresh Baal Peh. They have a din of Teresh Baal Peh. You're not allowed to read them from the Ksav, in which case it would be also to read from them. Now, all of that, of course, would not be Nogea any longer, because nowadays, as Tosis points out and all the Rishonim bring, nowadays, as the Gemara discusses elsewhere, we were matir the writing of things in other languages, the same way that we were matir writing down Torah Shebaal Peh. But that's because of the fact that people no longer have brains or memories. So everything is held externally, and therefore it needs to be in some type of medium. At that time, the medium was ksav, so that's why the way they had to keep it. But at the time of the Mishnah, remember that it was still very usur. The only thing that they had been matir was the ksiva of the Mishnah proper. Everything else was called Megillat Sittarim. So if you hold it, you're not allowed to write down other languages, then they would have a din of not being allowed to be read from. So therefore, when we say Afapisha Ketuvim B'Cholashon, it would address that question. If I'm not allowed to use them to learn, am I allowed to save them on Shabbos? And the Mishnah is saying, apparently, that you would be matzil them from the Dleikin. Now we're going to see that there's two very different ways of reading the Mishnah. The other way of reading the Mishnah is that Afapisha Ketuvim B'Cholashon refers to Teunim Gniza, which is the next words. So in other words, not necessarily could you save them from the dleika, but on the other hand, you can't just throw them out in the garbage. You would have to make certain that they weren't damaged and they would require geniza. That's going to be a machlokas in the Gemara. Umipnei ma ein korim bahen. Why did we say you're not allowed to read them? That's going back on the resha. Mipnei bitul beit hamidrash. So if we say that you cannot read ketuvim, then the Pashtus of the Mishnah is referring to Yechidim. Now, Rashi brings that possibly the Nafkamina would be over here, the question of Ketuvim B'chol Lashon. He said his Rabbeim explained to him that that part is only going on Ketuvim, which Rashi says is definitely not the case. And it's a fascinating machlokas. The reason it would be going only on Ketuvim, says Rashi, is that I'm assuming that since they know that there was a Targum of Nevi'im from Yonatan ben Uziel, so that meant that there already existed a Targum at the time of the Mishnah, and if that's the case, why in the world wouldn't you be allowed to write it down if Yonatan already wrote it down? That was the question. And Rashi says, who said Yonatan ben Uziel wrote anything down? Where do you get that idea? He was Matargim. It doesn't mean that he was Matir writing down his Targum. So that Targum itself was part of Torah Shebaal Peh. Why would there be a difference between Nevi'im and Ketuvim in this issue? The same way that there was a Targum, it wasn't written down, and therefore it's referring to anything, whether it's Nevi'im or Ketuvim, according to Rashi. Okay, continues now the Gemara to get into the details of these halachas. Itba. Hayu ketuvim targum o b'chol lashon. So let's say that we had the ksuvim or the kol kisvei HaKodesh, according to Rashi's pshat, they were written in Aramaic. Or for that matter, they were written in English. So Rav Huna says, despite the fact that it sure seems to say in the Mishnah that you can save them, Rav Huna says you're not allowed to save them on Shabbos b'nei adleika. And Rav Chista says, you are allowed to be matzilim ibnei adleika. Now, the question is, how does this relate back to the machloket of whether or not you are allowed, in Masechet Megillah, of whether you're allowed to read from other languages, which are mitargim, the Nevi'im and the Ketuvim? Are you allowed to learn, and even Torah, are you allowed to learn from that or not? So, if you're going according to the Mandi Omar, who says that you're allowed to learn from them, so there's no machlokas Rav Huna Rav Chista, because obviously if you're allowed to learn from them, so then you're allowed to save them. The machlokas is only according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who says lo nitnu likrot bahem, that you're not allowed to learn in other languages because they're written down be'isser, and there, since you can't learn from them, so Rav Huna says ein matzili. You can't save them because you're not allowed to learn from them. Whereas Rav Chista says, no, but it's still going to be a bizoyen to let the Kisvei HaKodesh to just be burnt up in a fire and not to make any attempt to save them is terrible. And therefore, even so, it's considered to be a tremendous disgrace. And therefore, and they speak about the Psukim with the Shem Hashem and so on, you save them anyway. Now, It says in the Mishnah, Beferish, no, Kol Kitvei HaKodesh, Matzilin Otom Mipnei Hadleika, Bein Shekorim Behem, Bein Shein Korim Behem, Af Al Pi Shektuvim Bechol Lashon. This is Beferish. I don't understand how anybody can argue on this. The Mishnah says you are allowed to save them no matter what they are written in, right? Now, let's try to figure out, okay, what the whole thing is about. So, l'chore, the way to read the Mishnah is like this. And the only reason, don't get confused by why we're doing this, because the next two lines are irrelevant to our argument. The only reason we're doing the next two lines is to clarify that the words Ben Shekorim Behem, Ben Shein Korim Behem have nothing to do with what we just used, those same words. We just used the same words. Are you allowed to be Korim Behem, right? Don't confuse that with the Mishnah. The words in the Mishnah that say Ben Shekorim Behem, Ben Shein Korim Behem are completely irrelevant to the Machlokas here of Ravun and Rav Chisda. So because of that, we want to speak out. Okay, so what is meant by the word Ben Shekorim Behem, Ben Shein Korim Behem, all right? That means, Shekorim Behem means what we read in the Beit HaKnesset is a reference to Nevi'im, and Shein Korim Behem is a reference to Ketuvim, right? It's the next piece that interests me, namely, Af Al Pi Shektuvim B'chol Lashon, and that would mean that even though they're written in another language, meaning even though, is there a problem in their being written in another language? Yes. The problem is, apparently, they're learning to Lekron Behem. And nonetheless, it says Matzilin. I don't get it. I mean, that is 100% anti-Rav Huna, who says that you are not allowed to save them if they're written in other languages. Amalekha Rav Huna, do you know how to read? Okay, will you please look at the Mishnah again and note that you're reading it completely wrong? If you actually believe what you just said, how do you understand the next words in the Mishnah, okay? The next words in the Mishnah are that you are supposed to put them into Gniza and not throw them in the garbage pail. I mean, isn't that a little ridiculous? If I just told you you're allowed to do an Isser on Shabbos, what is the Isser? First of all, that we allow you to save it. And secondly, as we're going to see later on, when you do save it, you're allowed to save it even if there's no Erev in the Mavi that you're bringing it into. Because the Rabbanim were not makpid on the Isser of bringing into a Mavoi without a Shituf in the Mavoi. And they allowed you, because it's Kitvei HaKodesh, they allowed you to actually take it. Don't look, Gavi, look at the road, not at the phone. So, Gavi, so they allowed you even to bring it into an area that normally you're not allowed to. So, do I need to tell you that you don't throw it in the garbage pail, for God's sakes? What, are you crazy? So, the Mishnah's, if the Mishnah says to Unim Gniza, how in the world could you think that those words are in addition to the first halacha of Matzilin? So, therefore, you're reading the Mishnah wrong. Obviously, you're reading it wrong. Gniza me, boy. So, you need to read the Mishnah differently. I'm going to tell you how to read the Mishnah. Rav Chisda is going to have to explain the Mishnah, okay? So Rav Huna's mitar tzatai. I mean, Rav Chisda is going to have to answer this problem. Rav Huna says, look, the way to read the Mishnah is the way that we noted when we introduced the Mishnah, that it's a possible way to read it. There's two different steps over here. Bein Shekorim Behem, that has to do with Nevi'im. Do you read the Navi in Shul? You don't need the Ravi. Bein She'in Korim Behem refers to Ksuvim. Fine. Now, you are meant to understand that that is referring to a normal case. Namely, where they're written, Bavet Varma Murim Shektuvim B'Loshon HaKodesh. They're written normally. This is a normal Sefer Torah, normal Sifrei Nevi'im. But if they would be written B'Chol Lashon, you would not be allowed to save them. Continues the Mishnah. And even if they're written in another language, ain't nonetheless Geniza Bo. So despite the fact that you're not allowed, when it says in the Mishnah, even though they're written in another language, which indeed you're not allowed to do. That's not talking about, and you can save them even if they are written in another language. No, the saving part ended. Now, continues the Mishnah. And even if they're written in another language, and therefore you would not be allowed to save them, don't think that that gives you a right not to be careful with their Kedusha. If we're not talking about Shabbos and so on, of course you would have to make certain that they were put into Geniza. You can't simply throw them around. Fine, now that makes a heck of a lot of sense. problem is for Rav Chisda. How is he going to explain, since he holds you can even save them, how can he say that the Mishnah found it necessary to discuss the fact that they need Geniza? Obviously, they need Geniza. So Rav Chisda will have to explain the Mishnah like this. Bein shekorin behem, yes, that's Nevi'im. Bein she'ein korin behem, yes, that's Ketuvim. Nothing to do with the question that we were talking about. And again, that would be a shayla. Does it mean in the Beit HaKnesset, or is it referring to even Yechidim because of the gzera of missing the Shira on Shabbos? Whatever. Now, afal pi shektuvim b'chol lashon, according to Rav Chisda, means even if they're written in English, nonetheless, you could still save them. So then, what's the part about and to unim gniza? That's adding a completely different halacha. What that's saying is, achikama, that in the event that these sfarim have been attacked by bookworms and they have decayed, you still have to make sure that the mekek shalahem to unim gniza, so decayed products from these various megillahs or sfarim, also require gniza, and that's a big chiddush. For sure, you can save them if they're whole. And even if they're not whole, they require gniza. Meitve. So let's see if Rav Huna actually adds up in terms of the brises. So it says in the brisa like this, Hayuktuvim targum v'chol hashon matzilino tamifnei adlaika. It's a beferish. There's nothing to argue about. If they were written in any other language besides Lashon HaKodesh, it's perfectly the same that your matzah from the Dleika to Yuvta Ravuna. Amalekha Ravuna, my God, what's your problem? Did we not already say that the whole machlokas between myself and Rav Chisda was referring only according to the Mandi Omar, who holds that you're not allowed to read them? I said to you that according to the Chachomim, who hold you're allowed to read from translations, so then, obviously, you're allowed to save them. I said that. So this braita is going, what's your problem? Okay, well, how about this? There's another another raya. Hayu ketuvim Egyptit, Madit, Ivrit, Ilmit, Yavanit. Let's say they're written in Egyptian, in ancient Egyptian, or in Midias, or in Ktav Ivri, or Elam, or in Greek. Here it says beferish. You're not allowed to read. You're not allowed to read them. So don't tell me we're going according to the Tanna that says you're allowed to read them. You can save them. Ha ha. To you after the Ravuna, now that for sure. I mean, how's Ravuna going to get out of that one? Oh, Malacha Ravuna. Well, yes, that definitely is against my opinion. However, it happens to be that there is a machlokes tanoim about what the din is. I'm going according to another Tana. I'll show you. Tanoihi. Because take a look at this braita. Hayu ketuvim targum, ubechol lashon, matzilin otam mipnei adleka, whereas Rabbi Yossi omer, ein matzilin otam mipnei adleka. So I'm going like Rabbi Yossi. What's your problem? Rabbi Yossi, I can tell you that my Abba Chalafta, he once went to visit Rabbi Gamliel Baribi, who was the grandfather of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the grandson of Rabbi Gamliel HaZakein, and he went to visit him, and he finds him that he's sitting on in the house over there by the table of Yochanan HaNazuf, and he's reading a Sefer Iyov, which was written in Targum, and he's reading it. I mean, it's bad enough he's sitting with Yochanan HaNazuf. He's got to be sitting and reading these dangerous books. Oh, my God. So anyway, I'll tell you what my Abba Chalafta said to him. He said, well, I remember your grandpa, Rabbi Gamliel Avi Avuch. I remember when your grandfather was standing right on a stair in the Har HaBayit, and they brought him a Sefer Iyov that was written in Targum. And he took the book and he gave it to one of the workers in the Beis HaMikdash, and he said, will you please do me a favor? Stick this under the bricks that you're working with so that it will be hidden forever. So shakeyu tachat anidbach, bury it. And afu tzivalov, and he was metzavat to see to it that it was gonuz. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudomer, forget about putting it under the bricks. They actually took a whole bucketful of wet mud and they turned it on it. On my Rebbe said, I don't believe a word of that. I just don't believe it. Everybody's coming up with these stories. It's impossible. First of all, look, state your vote, Davar. Why in the world would there have been mud in a bucket in the Har HaBayit? That's not what they used to build in the Har HaBayit. They dafka used traxid in the Har HaBayit, which is a much higher quality cement. They didn't use just that simple muddy cement. So what would it be doing? Tit Har HaBayit minayin. And secondly, it's insane to say that he said they poured a bucket of mud on it. Nobody ever said that you're allowed to be ma'abe, these things be a daim, even if you're able to do, you have to do geniza. Let's say you hold that. It's also the crowd, but you're allowed to actually destroy it? Of course not. So v'chi mutar la'abdan biyad? Ela menichim b'makom ha'turpa v'markivim e'leim. The most you could do, even according to those who argue with the way the Ravuna understood the Mishnah, which is that you're literally chayev to be put them into geniza. This mind, the armor holds, you don't put them into geniza, you're allowed to leave them outdoors, but you're certainly not allowed to do anything to destroy them. So, Bemela, what's your problem, says Ravuna? I hold like Rav Yossi. Okay, but you know, that's not all that you said. You said that it's a machlokas tanoim. Can you show me the machlokas tanoim? Who are the tanoim? I understand that Rav Yossi is saying like you. Yes, I mean, that's beferish that he's saying like you. Understood. But can you please tell me who the tanoim are? Because I don't see any tanoim over here. I mean, I'm assuming that you're calling tanoim is the braita that you just brought, right? But there is no tanoim over there. Let me just get the next staff here. For some reason, they're giving me trouble over here. Maybe I didn't download it. Who knows? 1 second. Let us see. So if you're going to tell me that the Tanoim is exactly the Braita that you just quoted, right? The Tanakama of the Braita and Rav Yossi. The Tanakama says, yes, it's okay if they're written in other languages. And then on the other hand, you have Rav Yossi. And that doesn't prove a darn thing to me, because there might be a completely different machlokas over here. Maybe the machlokas is marsav nitnu likrot pehem or marsav lo nitnu likrot pehem. You don't know that the machlokas has to do with the issue that we've been discussing. That, remember, is the question of whether or not you're allowed to save them, because it may be the machlokas is that you're allowed to read from them. So according to the Mandi Amarot, you're allowed to read from them. Well, everybody was better, you could save them. So I understand that you have a raya that Rabbi Yossi holds like you, right? But where do you see a machlokas in which somebody holds like Rabbi Chista? Maybe nobody holds like Rabbi Chista. No, it's actually two different braisas. Rabbi Yossi, but on the other hand, that other Tana of the Braisa that was written, talking about ancient Egyptian and so on, right? Gyptit. So that Braita has got to work out only Aliba the Shita that would be like Rav Chista, that even though you can't read from them, it says Beferish, even though you can't read from them, nonetheless, you could be Matzil. Tana Rabbana. How about, let's say you've got a sitter. Now, a sitter's got all these brochas in it, it's got Shmoneh Esrei in it, and the tefillahs and so on. Can you save them on Shabbos? So it says over here, Abrochot, or Kimeim, that have Afo Pesheish Bem Otiot Shal Shem. Look, they may have Yudke Vovke written in them, Inyanot, Harbeshe Betorah. They've got a lot of different little pieces of Psurkeim Rashas. They used to write like Kolam HaKalashas, Samtei Al Mitzrayim, or Lo Tirah Mipachad Laila, or stuff like that. You're not allowed to save them from the Dleika. You allow them to be burned together with any Askarot Hashem that were in them, because they're not allowed to be written. And Mikan Amru, and because of that, they said that people that write Sidurim are like people that would burn up a Sefer Torah, because in the end, you're not going to be able to save that sitter from a fire. And it was actually a Maisa once that there was a guy. Can you imagine the chutzpah in Sidon? This guy had opened up a bookstore where he was selling Sidurim. Lord, help us. Anyway, so they reported him to the police. And they came and they told Rabbi Yishmael, there's a guy who opened a bookstore selling Sidurim. What? So Rabbi Yishmael came in to check it out, to see whether this place has got to be blown up, right? So anyway, Rabbi Yishmael is sneaking up the ladder right? Meanwhile, the guys in the second story where he's doing his writing of these Sidurim, which was, of course, highly dangerous, in case Rabbi Shmuel would find out. Anyway, he hears somebody sneaking up the ladder. He figures, oh my God, it's Rabbi Shmuel. He found out. So he takes a big pile of all the Sidurim that he wrote, and he dumps it into a bucket of water to make sure it's all erased, that Rabbi Shmuel can't prove that he was actually writing Sidurim. So here, Gishpo, he hears him coming. Not atumas shel brachot v'shikat b'sefer shomayim. So he took a whole package of his Sidurim. And Rabbi Shmuel came up, he realized what he had done. So Rabbi Shmuel said to him, what you did at the end was worse than what you did in the beginning, you idiot. You actually erased the Shemais. That is complete Isser. That's an Isser D'oraisa. As you were writing Mele, it's not one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, but you weren't allowed to do it. This is terrible. Anyway, so because of that, they called him Sorfei Torah. As again, of course, I just want to remind you that nowadays none of this is Nogea, because of the fact that we were matir in terms of Eit La Sot La Hashem, and therefore Sidurim are no longer banned goods. They actually allow you to import them, I'm told. Okay, so now, yes, what?
Eight La Sot La Hashem is allowed to go on forever? Isn't it just like an eight? How is that allowed to go on forever?
Well, if people will get brains again, maybe it will change. So far, there's been no indication of a restoration of human intelligence. Anyway, continuing on. So now, we've been talking up until now only in terms of the language, okay? Well, that's not really true. Only in terms of the language and in terms of the lettering. So in other words, we said even if it's in Lashon HaKodesh, but if it's written in Ktav Ivri, it would be the same as not having the Kedusha of Ktav, and therefore would be the equivalent of Baal Peh. Okay. But what about if it's written with the wrong kind of ink? So then it doesn't have a din of a sefer either. But is the question of the type of writing, is that also going to be nogea? That since you're not supposed to be reading from a sefer that's written with the wrong ink, so because of that it has a din of Tersh Baal Peh? Boimine Resh Galusa. How about if you used the colorations that we spoke about that you're not supposed to use, like Sam, Sikra, Kumus, Kankantoms? We talked about different kinds of stains, or gum acacia we spoke about, or cupric sulfate. But they are written in Lashon HaKodesh. Everything else is fine, just that the actual paint is not fine. Are you Matzilin Mipnei Adleika? And I'm asking this question. Whether you hold Tiboy Laman Diomra Matzilin and Tiboy Laman Diomra Imatzilin, I don't care which way you go in the Machlokas of Ravuna Rav Chista about whether translations, whether you're allowed to save or not, you can ask it both ways. Let me show you why. Let's say according to Ravuna, he holds you're not allowed to be Matzil something in English, right? But that's because it's written in English, okay? But over here it's written in Lashon HaKodesh, so maybe you could. Or maybe even according to Laman Diomra, who says you can save something written in English, that's because it's actually written with a type of ink that is going to last, and therefore it's worth saving. Mashainkin, since the stains that we spoke about before are not as long-lasting as ink, so maybe there's no heter to save it either. Omar le ein matzilin. So the Reish Galusa asked him, but Rav Amnuna brought a braita, and it says matzilin. Omale, so then I would be mavato my psak, and I would say itanya tanya. So, I mean, the reason that it's important to speak this out is because there were brises that maybe, since they didn't go through the process of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, were not reliable brises. So apparently, the Reish Galusa wanted to know whether it was that Rabba Ravuna didn't know the braita, or Rabbi Ravuna held that the braita was not a reliable braita. Anyway, what's the braita that he brought? My Tanya. Omer Ravashi. Kiritanya. Ein bein svarim, sorry. Ein bein svarim le Megillah, ela shasvarim nichtavim b'chol lashon, u Megillah achtei ktuva ashurit, ala sefer, u bidyo. So since over here the Braita says that one of the differences between Megillah and everything else are Dafke that has to be written in Dio, you could see from there that the other Sforim that were written not with Dio would also require Matzilim in Adleika. By the way, according to Tosfos, the entire meaning of the Braita has nothing to do with reading from them or whether you're allowed to write them. Re understands that this Braita is referring specifically to Matzilim in Adleika. That's the whole point of the Braita. Boimine Ravuna bar Chalub Mirav Nachman. How about the Sefer Torah? Remember that the din of a Sefer Torah to be ro'i, to contain, maintain its Kedusha, is that it has to have 85 letters in it. And if most of the Sefer Torah is possible, and all the osios have popped off or they're not kosher, if you have 85 letters that are in that Sefer, then you're allowed to save the Sefer. Why is that? Because remember that the book of Bamidbar is split into three different parts. And the Sefer that is Vayhi ben Soa Aaron, which is set aside by the two Nunim, Hafuchim, before and after, is considered to be a separate Sefer. And that's why it says Chatzva Amudea Shiva. The Amudea Torah are actually seven. By the way, you will note that the Inyan of Vayhi ben Soa Aaron is specifically Nogea here in terms of Kol Kisvei HaKodesh Matzilin, because it's the very next step of completing the Mishkan. We're talking about the first time in which we do a Hotzah, and that Hotzah was in terms of Vayhi ben Soa Aaron, which is that which incorporates not only the Sefer Torah, but it tells you what the din is of the Kedushas of Sefer Torah, remarkably. That's an amazing coincidence. So those 85 tevos, those 85 otiot that can be found in the Parsha Vayhi ben Soa Aaron. So how about if it doesn't have that? Can you save it from the fire? Can you not save it? Is that a din also in Hatzalah? Oh, Marlo, I don't understand. Why are you asking me about whether it has enough to collect from the whole Sefer Torah? Why don't you ask me about the Parsha of Vayhi ben Soa Aaron? In other words, if that piece is the only thing that you have, it's all you have written, Vayhi ben Soa Aaron, but it's missing one letter, so it only has 84 otiot. Am I allowed to save it or am I not allowed to save it? Why didn't you ask me that? No, says Ravuna bar Chalub, you don't understand. The Parsha Vayhi ben Soa Aaron is a simon to the 85 otiot. It's not the point, because in the Parsha Vayhi ben Soa Aaron, you have the Shemos of Hashem. Well, you have the Shemos of Hashem, of course you save it. There, given the Itpe Askarot, Afagav the Lepe Shmonim v'chamesh otiot. You don't need 85 otiot to save a Shem Hashem that's written in the Kedusha Sefer Torah. Of course you save it. Kikami Boile, I'm talking about a Sefer Torah that does not have any askarot in it. Everything is popped off. There's not a single kosher askara. And you also do not have 85 letters in the Sefer Torah that are proper. That's what I'm asking. Can I save that Sefer, or is it basically completely useless? So Reb Nachman said to him, no, ein matzilin. So Rav Huna bar Chalub asked Rav Nachman, who said, "Ein matzilin, what about the Braita that says Targum shekitavo Mikra, or Mikra shekitavo Targum?" So let's say you have psukim in the Torah that were written in Targum, such as Yigar Sahaduta, which the Gemara is going to explain later, which was Lavan's way of referring to Gal Eid, and you translate it into Hebrew, or Mikra shekitavo Targum, or you have something that you wrote in Ktav Ivri. It says Matzilin mipnei hadleika, ve'in tzarich lomar targum shebe'ezra shebe'niel shebe'torah, where you have targum that is actually written that way in the Torah correctly, you are still going to be matzil even letters of targum. Now, here's my question. Show me where the Torah writes targum, okay? Where do we find that? Yigar Sahaduta. How many letters are there in Yigar Sahaduta? That's the only Targum in the entire Sefer Torah. How many letters does that have? It sure ain't 85 letters. So you see that even though it doesn't have 85 letters, it says you're allowed to say the Agar Saduta. I said, Renakutim, for heaven's sakes, you don't understand what the price is talking about. Of course you have 85 letters. The price is just saying if among those 85 letters is Yegar Saduta, that it's Mitzdar. If the 85 letters, where does it say you're allowed to save just the words Yegar Saduta? Come on, man. So Kitanya Yila Hashlim. Iboilu, these 85 letters, do they have to be all in one place? Or could they be scattered all around the Sefer Torah? Rav Huna says only together. Rav Chisda says even if they're scattered. So the Gemara, how can Rav Huna say even if they have to be together? It says, Beferish, Sefer Torah Shabbala, Im Yeshbo Lelakate, Lelakate. Lelakate means together from all over the place. 85 letters, similar to the Parsha of Vayibin Soah Aaron. Then you can be matzalit from the fire. But if not, you can't be matzalit. So you see, obviously, that we're not talking about mechunasim. Rav Huna is gone. Tiyufta Rav Huna. Tirgama Rav Chisda, Lib de Rav Huna. Rav Chisda said, now please, I mean, I don't agree with Rav Huna on many occasions, but I mean, this, chas v'shalom, this is not against Rav Huna. Because when you say lilakate, it doesn't mean you lilakate one letter here and one letter there. It's talking about that you've got full words, one here and one there. That for sure. I'm talking about what if you could actually get 85 letters that are not in words? That's what he wanted to know.